In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At our parish breakfast just now, we were talking about how Easter, what am I saying, how Christmas seems to... It actually fits with what I want to say later on, but how Christmas seems to be getting earlier and earlier. And in fact, some statistics have been done, and apparently things are appearing in the shops now something like 3 weeks earlier than they were 10 years ago. So maybe in 10 or 15 years' time, we will start celebrating Christmas round about Easter. But last Sunday, Mark, that is Mark of Thun, not Mark the Evangelist, reminded us that we look two directions in Advent, backwards to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, but also forward to his coming again at the Last Judgment. And in fact, it's a bit more complicated than that, because Advent is a time of preparation. Our calendar has not arrived at Christmas yet, in spite of what the shops might want us to believe. We have not arrived at Christmas yet. So we are looking forward in preparation of an event which has not yet happened, but has already happened in history. In other words, what we're doing now in the present relates to what God has done in the past and he will do in the future. It is not as if in Advent we enter some sort of science fiction time warp, but the message of Advent is it's about time. Our first reading from the prophet Isaiah is full of future tenses and words like prepare. And the herald is to proclaim the message that it is time now to get ready. And the letter of Peter, our second reading, tells us that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like one day. And it goes on to talk about the day of the Lord, which will come at the end of time. The end of time, when past and future collapse into an eternal present, which we call eternity or everlasting life. That is our hope. What this season of Advent prepares us to do is to look forward with both joy and fear. For some people, the idea of everlasting life does not sound very attractive, an endless succession of weekends, or just sitting around on clouds playing harps. In fact, so incredibly boring that either they don't believe it or they don't want to go there. So what then are we preparing ourselves for in Advent? What is eternity really like? Well, the only way we can get our heads round it is to use picture language or poetry. And of course, the trouble starts when we mistake this sort of language for something more concrete and literal, a trap that both skeptics and fundamentalists fall into all too easily. To help us get an idea of eternity, let us start with the liturgy. Again, not everyone gets what it's about, but the fact is, every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we retell the gospel story of salvation. It is there before our eyes. In celebrating the liturgy, the church is the herald of good tidings, of which Isaiah speaks. And she says to the world, here is your God. Past, present, and future collapse into a glimpse of eternity. And we are part of that endless cycle of adoration, thanksgiving, offering, and receiving. as broken bread becomes the body of Christ, we are witnesses and participants in a transformation in which, to use the prophet's picture language, every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. He's not talking about geography here. We have to apply those concepts of obstacles, barriers, and difficult terrain to the circumstances of the world around us, and indeed to our own lives. Because these are the things God will transform in his new heaven and his new earth. This glimpse of eternity, which we have in our celebration of the Eucharist, this glimpse of eternity is also an invitation to judge our own words, actions, thoughts in the light of that same eternity, as indeed will happen at the end of time, when past and future collapse into this endless present. Then our pride and envy, our greed and lack of love will be shown up for what they are, means to an end that fades and withers like the flowers and the grass. To see our misguided prejudices, plans, ambitions burst like so many soap bubbles will no doubt be painful. And that is no doubt why so many visions of the end of time are, well, apocalyptic. So we look forward to that last day with some fear and trembling, but also because of God's promises of a new heaven and a new earth, we can also look forward with longing and with hope, because it's about time. Amen.